Welcome back to the second episode of Cat's Path. Thank you so much for listening in on the second week, second episode. I wanted to say first off, thank you to all of those who listened the first episode and gave really helpful feedback. That was great and I appreciate it very much. So, I was thinking, since we only meet once a week, I thought I would give you a quick little catch-up before we talk about the topic for today, which that topic is going to be expectation versus reality, and the young mindset versus the current mindset that I have. So, catching up, I'm trying to record a little farther away, so maybe it doesn't sound as moist, but I keep hitting my wire, so we're gonna hope that I don't keep doing that. So I've been testing new ways to record and stuff like that to hopefully improve the sound and make it a little better. Another thing, I think it was Friday, my boyfriend got me my Christmas present, which is a Nintendo Switch Lite, which I have been playing on nonstop. He got me 3 games. I got Animal Crossing, and that's what I've been playing pretty much every single day for multiple hours of the day, and it's super, super cool. That is, like, the best Christmas present ever, and I was really, really happy. Anyways, so I got Animal Crossing and Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. So my brother also has a Switch, so that means we can play Super Smash Bros. And stuff on his. So I'm super excited about that. So that was a big little event. A big little event. Love the contradiction. Okay. I also went out this weekend, hung out with my friends. I'm just hitting everything. Ignore that. I'm calling my friends the M&Ms. M&Ms? The M&M. M&M. They're my adult friends. They're both in their 20s. Hung out with them, we did some bowling, did some karaoke, which was super fun, because I've been wanting to actually do karaoke for a really, really long time, and it was cool to finally be able to do that. We were in there for like 2 hours, it was great. And I'm just finishing up buying some Christmas presents, and kind of getting ready for that. Finishing up the last few people on my list and stuff. And yesterday, Monday, I had my final Police Explorer meeting for the year, so we'll meet up back in January. And that was a good meeting. We went through scenarios and stuff, and it was a very fun time, and I enjoyed it a lot. So, that was my catch-up. I feel like maybe I should put that at the end, but y'all can tell me. But that was me catching up. So, to get onto the topic of today, my young imagination expectation was very high and very different to what it is for me now. And what I mean by that is my young imagination pictured a lot of things with actually a lot of people. I realized looking back, it surrounded a lot more about people. And I think you'll understand what I mean by that. But definitely my young imagination wouldn't still be in my parents' house at 20, but that's okay. But when you're in middle school, I'm using like the middle school time frame, 6th to 8th grade, a little bit of freshman in high school too, but mainly middle school age. I know I did this, and I'm pretty sure it's common for everybody, but moving in with your friends at the time, like your best friends, you have a group of 2 or 3 people, and you're like, we are going to move in together. We're going to move to, whether it was like New York or Montana or all these just crazy places. We're going to live in Iceland. We're going to move in together because we're still going to be best friends, and we're going to make our whole friendship around us moving in together eventually. I remember I had Pinterest boards with my friends where we were designing our apartments, which is cute. And I found some of them, and looking back, my interior decorating style back then is not what it is now, which I think is a good thing. But you think about your friends and you want you think the friends that you have then are going to stay with you forever, which is true in some cases, but a lot of the times not true, because all of those friends that I made plans with, we either don't talk anymore, they've moved away, all that stuff. So it doesn't last, but it is cute and comforting to think about at the time, and cute looking back on, and comforting looking back on as well. And I thought I was gonna have a really cool job, and I think that it would be like a, like I think I felt like I would have that job for a long time already. You know, like I think I would have been working at this cool, definitely a dream job, not a livable job, but a dream job for like already a couple years. I would have been this great little businesswoman, just working my way. I don't even know what I would have wanted to do at that time, or what I thought that job would be, but something along those lines. I thought I was going to have lots of animals, lots of cats, lots of dogs. I remember, and I still kind of hope for this in the back of my mind, that I thought I was going to have a room. My house or apartment was going to be big enough to have a room for every single animal I had. I was going to have my cat's room, and my dog's room, and my hedgehog's room, and my ferret's room, and my fish's room, and all this other stuff. Was I thinking about my friends living with me too? No. But I thought about animals and my friends. I didn't even really register college. I guess I didn't think that, like, the time frame of college still existed. Like, I think I pictured college as for, like, adults. Which I know 20 is an adult. But, like, older adults. I think I pictured it as being something super later on in life. So that didn't even, wasn't even in my head at the time. I'm gonna move my wire. Hold on. Okay. So I definitely didn't even register college. And I definitely thought I could take everything I owned. I thought I could pack up every piece of furniture, every stuffed animal, every little art and craft, every pet rock that I picked up along the way, and I could just take that with me. I think I really misjudged the spaces of apartments. I think I really miscalculated that. because it is not like that. So I definitely thought, the big main points, I thought I was going to move in with my friends, have a lot of animals, and pretty much be able to move my whole life. Which brings us into the reality of a couple things. First, and I think most importantly, is that affordable housing is, in this economy, kind of non-existent. In the way of, you cannot work certain jobs and expect to live off of that. If it was like just yourself, it's definitely gotten harder in the money aspect. So that's something everyone's dealing with, of course, me included, that I need to be somewhat picky about my job so that I can live off of it if that's what I want to do, and that is what I want to do. So I'm not picking jobs as much as for for the idea of me liking it, but picking jobs that will support me. So that's a big, you know, difference. Definitely didn't think about that. And back to the friends, they're on completely different paths. The people that I planned those, you know, Montana houses and stuff with aren't around anymore, which is fine. And I see some of them on Instagram and see what they're doing, and I think they're doing really good, and I'm really happy for them. But it just shows that people you really want to stay just might not stay. And even the friends, even the couple friends in high school that I was like, we should totally move in together, still isn't going to happen. Can they afford to move out? Probably not. And like, just everything goes into it, and you start to realize that there's more aspects to it. It's not just, oh, you're my friend right now, let's move in together. It's a lot more complicated than that. And then, of course, college. I'm doing college, so that affects money, that affects where I live. Am I going to move for college? Am I staying here? It affects stuff like that as well. And then a couple more things is like safety. If I was going to, let's say I was living by myself or I was living with a female roommate, we need to live somewhere safe because it's just going to be me and this woman, or me and myself. Me and myself? Me by myself. Let's try that again. Me by myself. So safety has become a very big part of that for me, a very big factor for me, which means I want to live in a good apartment complex, which means it's going to be more expensive, which goes back to the job and goes back to everything else, of course. But safety is a really big thing for me. And even if people weren't my best friends, roommates? Question mark. Do I want roommates? Do I really want to live with someone else? Because a sleepover, a birthday sleepover, is not a very good indicator of how you're going to live with a person. You know, a one night together is different than coming home to a person every single day. So I would like a roommate, of course, because I think everyone would want to live with someone if they could. But then that decides who. Who do I want? Who, if in a perfect world, who would I want to live with? You know, how do I think they would be living with, or living wise? I've thought about moving in with my boyfriend and I really want to, but can I actually deal with living with him? I don't know. And then of course that gets into the factors too of like leases. If you're in a lease and something happens in that, within that time of the lease, what are you supposed to do? Are you going to move out and forfeit the lease? I think that's a word. Or a phrase. But, you know, like, are you going to get out of that? Or are you just going to put up with it? Like, what are you going to do? And that also raises fear of who I want to live with. Do I want to live with my boyfriend? What if we break up and we still have to live together because of the lease? Or what if I'm in, moving in with my best friend? And then, you know, best friend in quotes. Because finding out best friends can only last a day, or they can last a very long time, but I digress. You know, what if I get in a fight with my friend and then we're stuck together? If one of us is gonna, you know, bite the bullet and leave, or what? So that's another big thing. And then another big thing for me personally is I don't really want to leave my brother, my younger sibling, even though, with all due respect to him, I don't think he'd care if I left. I think it's more of me caring that I leave, and I can't just go and bug him. I can't just walk into his room and bug him at whatever time I want. Doesn't mean, and of course I'm saying that as in, just because you move doesn't mean you can't visit back home. But then of course if you're on your own life gets in the way, and then scheduling and all of that stuff. But leaving him is a big part for me. I definitely don't want to be away from him before I have to, just because he's very important to me. And we've always been like really, really close. I think like closer than most siblings. We're just tight. And it would suck for me to leave and not be able to see him or have dinner with him or play games together or just go bug him. So that's something I think about too. Every time I think I'm ready to move out, be like, I'm ready to really start planning this, really start looking, he like pops up in my mind and I'm like, I don't want to leave him yet. So that's something I struggle with. I don't know if struggle is the right word, but something I definitely think about a lot. I just don't know if I don't think I'll ever be ready for that, but am I ready for it right now? I don't know. So that's something that is a reality for me. And also, like, this is lighter, a lighter point, but like, what do I take with me? I can't take everything with me, so what do I take? How many stuffed animals can I really fit in an apartment? Can I... I don't know what I'm supposed to take. How much can I take? How much can I not? You know, like, you can't really move your whole childhood bedroom with you, so you have to pick and choose. And I have a lot of emotional attachment to everything in my room, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to take? My room is filled. I've got shelves and bookcases and drawers and bins of just so much of my stuff, and I am just the type of person to be attached to all of that. So how much do I take with me? Or what do I... The idea of what is important and necessary really becomes a big part in moving as well. You realize what is actually important, what is actually necessary to take with you and stuff like that. And I think it would kind of suck for me to have to go through everything and decide what I want and decide when I want to leave, because I was the type of kid who would like pick an animal, a stuffed animal, to sleep with me that night, and I would apologize to the rest of them, be like, I'm so sorry, I'll pick you tomorrow, I'll pick you tomorrow. So, deciding which ones to leave here and just, like, walk out the door with, and, makes me sad. Makes my little child heart very sad. I'm literally looking at, like, a whole bedspread of them. What am I supposed to do with all of you guys? I don't know. So the expectation is just, the reality is a lot harsher and a lot more small. My expectation was very high, was very, I don't know. I'm thinking the word whimsical, but it's not the word whimsical, but just very happy and easy, and I didn't even actually really attach it to adulthood and leaving your family and starting, like, that new chapter. I didn't think of it that way. I do now, and I think that's what makes it really hard. Like, I know I want to move out at some point soon. I don't want to be still living with my parents when I'm, like, 25, but it's still a little rough, like, thinking of everything I won't have anymore. If you leave, and even if it's, like, a 15-minute drive, that doesn't mean you can always just, you know, it doesn't mean I can always just come bug my mom if I want to, or walk downstairs and watch TV with my grandma. Like, it, stuff changes, and I know that's okay, but it's just a little different. And I posted on my Instagram Monday as well, if there was any topics or questions that you guys had, and one of my friends said I should talk about what I pictured, like, my career, my young imagination career versus the current reality career. So I'll get into that, because that's expectation versus reality as well. So when I was younger, I thought I was going to be a veterinarian, only because I liked animals. I didn't actually think too much into it other than I like animals and I'm pretty smart, I can do it. That was pretty much my thought process on that. And I got out of the veterinarian train pretty quickly. And actually, especially now, this is going to be really personal, but I had to put down my dog in October. And that was very rough, and I don't understand how people, like, how the vets and everyone there was very nice. And of course, I know, like, they're sad, but I could definitely not do that every day. I could not see families crying and, oh, yeah, I couldn't do that. I know that for sure. definitely now, but back then I guess I was just like, that's a lot of education. I'm not gonna do it. Or whatever way I lost interest in it. I guess probably for the same reason. I don't want to be that person that takes a loved one from a family or anything like that, because as much as I love animals and I don't like to see them in pain, so it's probably not the path for me. So that was it for a while, a pretty long time. All the way, I think, until freshman year of high school. I was in FFA in high school, and that was still kind of my thought. And then I actually started getting into photography. And so my sophomore and junior year was all photography. And then I worked really hard on that. And I thought that's what I would do, which I would still do now, but more of as a hobby, definitely not a career. And I think that's because I think it was junior year. I was in like an actual photography class, and I don't know if this, I mean, I think it makes sense, so I'm just gonna say it, but taking pictures and doing like what I like what I loved, which I still love, but doing what I love as a grade, you know, like I was only taking pictures for a grade, kind of diminished my enjoyment, which I've told some people and they understand. So I kind of made me not love it as much, even though I still very much do. And if I was going to be a photographer of any kind, I would be a photographer of antique cars. I would I love antique cars and I love taking pictures of that, so I would think of cool, you know, scenes and locations and all that stuff. So if I was going to do photography, definitely antique car photographer or wildlife photographer, anything but people. I think my strong suit's definitely not people and like trying to pose them and everything. I like nature because it does all of its posing and it's beautiful on its own, and I don't have to do anything, so that makes it a lot easier for me. I just have to capture it correctly. And then antique cars, I just think there's so much like story and stuff, so I still definitely very much love photography. It's just not my go-to as a career anymore, but that lasted pretty much two solid years until senior year, when I realized I didn't want to take a photography class anymore. So I was like, well, I really like law enforcement as well. What part of law enforcement? I'm not necessarily sure. I guess maybe the fact because my mom watches ID every night and what, like 60 Minutes? You know, those type of shows, the murder shows, and I always found that really interesting. I would definitely like to solve clues and find out why people do what they do. So, senior year, I got into criminal investigation, and that criminal investigation class promoted police explorers, which is when I got in police explorers, and in police explorers is very beneficial because it's law enforcement, and it's more of like police, just like, you know, the police you see every day, but it really helps you find like your direct avenue. And being in that program, I realized my direct avenue is Texas Game Warden, and that is my current goal, and that is the career that I'm working for every single day. That's what I want to do, and my reasonings for that, there's a couple. One is female empowerment. I think it's totally awesome when a woman can come into a male-dominated field and do just as good, if not better, than the men they're working with, and that's how I want to be. But I also really like the idea of game warden specifically, because I think they deal a lot more with the community, and I don't know if you if you can watch, you should watch, like, Lone Star Law, all of the, there's certain shows that are about game wardens. They might be by a different name, but in Texas, it's called Lone Star Law. It's a really good show. And I noticed that game wardens are very community heavy. They make friends within the community and everybody knows them, and they aren't necessarily feared, but they're, people are happy when they see them. They're like, oh yeah, that's officer, you know, whatever. And I definitely would like to be that. I want to be a happy and safe space for people. And I think that position, a game warden, is one of the best ways to do that, because, which leading into my other reason, is I would much rather like to educate people before I discipline people. And I mean that in, I'll just give an example. Where my dad lives, his house backs up to the Texas, like, the grasslands, which is, you can hunt there. It's pretty much, if you couldn't go to, like, your own, you know, space to hunt or fish or do whatever, you can do it on the grasslands. But there's a lot of rules and regulations, and my dad and my brother are very big hunters, and they've been doing it for a couple years now. Few years, actually. And being out there and seeing my brother and my father work so hard throughout the year, they plan everything out, they get everything ready, they work on their skills, they do their research and all of this stuff. They wait all year to get it right. And this is for deer, but they do it all year to get it right. And there's people every single day, every weekend I'm there, there's cars and trucks and vans and people hunting illegally. And I feel so bad for my brother and my dad, who work so hard all year to do it right, and their chances are being snatched away from people who are doing it the bad way, the illegal way. And that really, really frustrates me, because I know there's other little kids out there who are learning with their parents, and they're not getting those opportunities, whether it's fishing or hunting or anything else out there. They're getting chances taken away from them because of people who think that the rules don't apply to them. And I mean that respectfully, but I would love to be the one who goes out there and educates these people, and if necessary, handle them correctly in saying that you can't do that, you know? There's families and people who are trying to do it right, and if you want it that bad, then you should do it the right way. And I'm only saying that because there's families, and how you're taking away this little boy's chance or this family's chance. That's one of my main goals, is I want to educate people and give families the chance they deserve when they're doing it right. But I also want to just overall help and be a good symbol of education, protection, responsibility, dignity, all of that. I just really want to be a good influence. So I just hit my wire. Okay. So that's a very big reason, and that's a reason that has been the same every single day when I wake up. And that's why I'm working so hard for this goal, because I really want to be that change and be a part of that force that, you know, really helps and educates. So that is a little a little conversation about expectation versus reality in things like moving out, things like careers, and a little bit of catch up. So I will end it here for now. I'm hitting the wire and I don't even care. Thank you so much for listening again. Next week, I haven't actually decided a topic yet, so maybe you guys can help me. I'm thinking about maybe like the comfort of habit. Being, if it's your habit, you're comfortable with it. And how do you get out of that? And is it really a bad thing? I don't know. Would you be interested in a story time of some various thing? I don't know. So let me know what you'd be interested in hearing in next. Thank you so much for listening again and your continued support. And I will see you next week, which will be the recording will be after Christmas. So maybe a little Christmas haul? I don't know. We'll do another catch up. So, anyways, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you guys next week. Bye.